Again, today's daf is daf lamed tes. So let's take in the bottom of lamed ches amid bay's last six lines. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Ba'ale umesa pater. So let's say a person's Ba'ale on the daughter, and she dies before they're able to take him to Bezdin, before the father brought him to Bezdin. So this pater, so he gets off the hook. Shenemar tes in the pasuk, Nosen lavi hanara, velo lavi mesa. She has to be alive when he takes him to Bezdin. So Milsa the Pshitele Labai, that which was obvious to Abaye, Mibarle Rava, was questioned by Rava. The Bai Rava asks, Yesh beggar bekever o ain beggar bekever? Can a katana na'ara become a bogeris while she's dead? That's in essence the question, or not? In other words, we'll look at the Gemara, we'll look at Rashi. Yesh beggar bekever v'dubna havia. So if she's a bogeris, she becomes a bogeris, which means her father doesn't get it anymore. The father, she gets to collect it on her own, in which case it should go to her child. Or maybe she does not become a bogeris. She cannot mature, obviously, when she's dead. So it goes to her father. So look at Rashi to appreciate this question a little bit better. Says Rashi, Yesh beggar bekever, imesa binarusa, ad shlo amda badin. So she died before they took the man to Bezdin. The Giyazman Bagrusa Bekever. And she reaches the age of 12, or the 12 and a half, which is supposed to become a Bogeris. Michashiv Beger Olo. Is that going to be considered Beger or not? And next Rashi, Yesh Beger Bekever. Vichihechid de Imlo Hispik Alamod Bedin Ad Shebogger. Just like if she was alive. And if he didn't take him to Bezdin until she became a Bogeris, even though the Maish took place when she was a Nara, but it, you know, took 6-7 months to take him to Bezdin. Tanan Lakaman Beperk Nara Shinifthisa. She keeps the money. The Hashanami, here the questions are, well, is there beggar bekev that should become bogeris in the ground and mafkia koch av ubna yarisla, and her son's going to yorish her? Or im yeshla ben, if she has a child or not? That's the question. So Gemara goes on to now daf lamed tes and says, wait a second here. Mi ma'abra, can she have a child? You look at Rashi. Mi ma'abra, can she become pregnant? Bekatnus or benarus, because she basknas, shetelet benarus. In other words, if she was a nensa, and the Gemara is saying, does she have a child? She cannot have a child, I know, a few months earlier. She was a katana. She's a naira. Katana naira can't have children. So how can you question whether or not, if she's dead, if she becomes a bulgaris in the bekever, her child, she can't have a child when she's that young, as the Gemara says. V'hatani Rav Bibi Kamei de Rav Nachman, Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'moch, three women have a tashmish with a moch, Eluhain, Katana, Mu'uberes, Menika, Katana Shema Tisaber V'Thomas, maybe she's going to become pregnant and die, it's dangerous for a child to become pregnant, Mu'uberes Shema Tasa Ubra Sandal, maybe she's pregnant, or she's pregnant and it's going to somehow affect the child, and Menika Shema Tigmol Esbena, and she might have to wean from her current child, and that's going to be dangerous for her born child. From the age of 11 to 12 is considered a child. Pachs mekan, or yes, okay, younger than this, older than this, mishamesh is kedarka, bolechas divi Rabbi Meir, and that's allowed because younger than this, she won't become pregnant. Only during 11 and 12 can she become pregnant, it will be dangerous. Above 12, let her become pregnant, let her have a child. But under 11, she can't have children. So Chachamim Omrim, Achazu v'Achazu Meshemesh Kedarka v'Holechas u'Meshemayim Yirachmu. No, don't have any cheshbonos here. Let a Kadosh Baruch Hu take control of the world. Shenem Hashomer P'sam Hashem. Either way, a Ketana certainly can't have a child, so how could you question if she becomes a Bogeris Bekever, will her child be Yorisher? She has no child. You can't talk about a child. So Gemara says, maybe you're going to tell me v'chitema di'abra kishinara volida kishinara. Maybe she became pregnant when she's a Nara. Granted, as a katana under 12, she won't have a child. But maybe at 12, between 12 and 12 and a half, when she's a Nara, she became pregnant on her birthday, and 6 months later she had a child. Could you have 6 months? Because remember, the whole question of Nara Murasa, this case here, Nara rather, the case of Nensa, is only when she's a Nara. So there's a 6 month window to speak of having a child and being Nensa. So can a woman have a child in 6 months? Ubishisa Yarcha Mikayalda? Bahamar Shmuel says, Ein Beinaros Libagris Elishisha Chadashim. There's only a 6 month window. So, and we know she can't have a child in 6 months. The chitema butzer who deleka. Maybe what Shmuel says, it can never be less than 6 months. I mean, naris is always at least 6 months, but hatve ika, maybe it could be more than 6 months. It could be maybe 3 years, who knows? So the Gemara says, ha elo kamar. Doesn't say elo, which means it only exists 6 months. There's no up and down. It's exactly 6 months, no less, no more. So elo hachi kamibale. So go back to the original question of Rava. What was Rava's question? Rabbi's question was not whether the child, if she dies and she becomes a Bogeres Bekever, whether her child will be Yorish. That's not relevant. The child isn't Yorish. She has no child. So the question was, Hachi coming by Len. Yesh Beger Bekever, Upaka Av, and the father loses out on the ability to collect on the money. Oh, Dilmer, perhaps ain't beggar bekever velo pakaav, or maybe there is no beggar in the kever, and the father continues to have a rishus and he collects it. That's the question. And Rashi just explains here, pakaav, paka tvias av, the av's ability to collect the money from the ma'anis, vizacha hala b'mashi b'yado, the man keeps the money, that which is in his hand, she'ain baldino, he's no longer the baldin kaim, the baldin, the woman is no longer kaim. The Knas La Mamonu, it's not considered Mamon, the Harishu La Avia, for the father to be Yorishit, but Tarz Yerusha, it's only Knas, and since she's not alive, there's no Din Torah to be discussed. So Gemara then says that Mar Bar of Ashi, Baila Hachi, he asked this question, Misa Osa Bagris, or Ain Osa Bagris. He said, maybe Misa itself makes her into a Bogeres. Not that she becomes a Bogeres in 6 months, but maybe Mies itself somehow makes her into a Bogeres. That was his question. And the answer to take, we don't have an answer. I don't know what the answer is, but we don't have an answer to Shitas Rava.
Abai is Drusha.
Abai is Drusha. Why did Rava accept that Drusha? Unclear. We don't know.
Why you take it? I mean, at least we have Abai is a Drusha.
Rabbi is a dresser, so it seems like we paskin that way. They quote from the Rambam that we paskin like Abaye, so not sure why they didn't why they rejected it. It doesn't say. I didn't look into it. I didn't see the Rishonim who said anything here, but that is how we paskin anyways. So then the Gemara says, "Boy minei Rava me Abaye, ba'ale v'nisar samahu." Let's say a man's ma'aniser, and then she becomes a rusa. She's engaged to somebody else. What's the din? So what's the question here? Does she collect it, or maybe does that mean she's no longer the rishus of her father, and she should be able to collect it? Or no, her father still collects the money. So Amar Lei, Miksiv V'nasan La'vi Hanara Asher Lo Arusa. The word Asher Lo Arusa doesn't not mention the pasuk. It says the father of the Nara gets it, regardless of whether she's engaged or not. Asks Gemara, Ulatamech, according to your reasoning, Hadatani, the Brisa tells us, Ba'aleha V'nises, the man is Ma'aneser, and she becomes married, last, but she keeps. What's the drasha? Miksiv, does it say in the pasuk v'nasan la'vi anaira asher lo nisua? Doesn't say the words asher lo nisua. How do you get the drasha of that when she's married, she gets to keep the money? Maybe when she's engaged, she also keeps the money. It's not based on a pasuk. Hachi asher, let's understand this for a moment. It's not based on a pasuk, it's based on a svar. Hasam over there by nisuin, holu bagris motziam rishas av, when she becomes mature physically, biologically, so she leaves the rishas, the auspices of her father. Also, when she gets married, she goes to the property, to the husband's rishus. Just like if she's a Nara, and then she becomes a Bogeres, she keeps the money to herself because she's no longer under the rishus of her father. Afso to Nisuin, Ba'aleh, V'niseis La'asma. She keeps as well because Nisuin also takes her out. She's Motzi from her father's rishus. The question becomes, what about Erison? How do you categorize Erison? Do we say that when she gets engaged, it also removes her from the full control of her father? The Mishnah tells us, Nara Murasa Aviha Ubaila Mefirin La Nidereha. When she's engaged, both the father and husband in tandem do the hafara. So we see that Erison does not take her out of her father's rishus, in which case the father will continue to collect the knas if she's only engaged. But if she's married or she's a bogeres, then it leaves the rishus of the father, and she collects it on her own. The new Mishnah tells us now, HaMefateh, no sein shlosh dvarim, va'ones arba, that in Mefateh, case Mefateh pays 3, and the ones, the ma'anes, pays 4 things. HaMefateh, no sein boshes, upagam, uknas, and the embarrassment she goes through, the pagam he caused her, and the knas is a penalty in the Torah. Mosif ala ones, the ones is an additional thing that the ones pays, she no sein esatzar, the pain that he gives her. So ma bein ones from Mefateh, what's the difference? One difference is that the onus pays tsar and the mefateh does not. Furthermore, the onus has to pay immediately. Only when he divorces her. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, they're not married yet to even speak of divorce. The Gemara is going to tweak the language. Means when he decides not to marry her, so that's when he has to pay her the money. But the onus pays immediately, the mefateh pays when they don't get married. Ha'ones shows that batito, the ones is forced to drink from his cup, if you will. He's forced to marry her. The pasuk says, if you look at the last Rashi, just to see the pasuk here, shosa batitza, says Rashi, b'chli shebachalo l'shos bo, the kli he chose, kolomer al karchol yisan, he must marry her, k'dechsev lo yuchal l'shalcha, there's a lav for him to send her off. He must marry her. That's the case of the ones. Ha'mafate im ratzalotzi motzi, he could divorce if he wants. He does not have to marry her, the mafate case. Ketzad shows the batitza, how does it work that the ones must marry this girl? Even if she's missing a leg, or she's blind, or she's other skin ailments, he must marry her. Nimsa ba davar erva, however, if she's an erva to him, or she's not ruya lavo by Yisrael, or not lav dafka an erva, but maybe she's not ruya, she's a mamzeris, ein rasha lekaima, in that case, he does not marry her, shenemar, velosia liisha sheharuya lo, only to a woman who's permitted to him, is he allowed to marry her. But if she has some other type of physical ailment, blemish, that he must marry. So interesting question they ask here. The Rishon wonder, the Shidim Kubetz ask the question, why does it say Shlosha Dvarim and Arba Dvarim in the beginning? 3 and 4. It's always coming to exclude something. So what's it coming to exclude? He says it's coming to exclude that normally a Chovel B'Chaveru pays Chamisha Dvarim. He pays 5 things. He has to pay Sheves and Ripoy as well. So the Mishnah tells us that he doesn't have to pay Sheves and Ripoy. Even if the damage he caused her, she can't go to work, and no medical costs, he would not have to pay according to Shittim Mekubetzes. However, the Rabag says not true. He would have to pay these matters. It's just it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah because it's unlikely from a case of Onis Mefata will ever lead to Sheves and Ripoy that there'll be crazy medical costs and she'll be out of a job. So since it's unlikely, it wasn't mentioned. But Eina Hanami, if it were to cause the need for Sheves and Ripoy, the man would have to pay these additional costs. Now, the interesting Chakir that Fika Yam raises. When it says Lo Siel Isha that he must marry this woman, he raises the following question. Is that a kanas? Is that a penalty that since he's ma'anis the woman, he must marry her? Or it's a mitzvah to marry her. So he says there are a couple of nafkumirs. Number one is if he's modeh. He's modeh v'knas, that this modeh v'knas pater. If he's modeh, he did something wrong, he will not actually have to marry her. He gets off the hook by admitting. But if it's a mitzvah, the hodah doesn't work. Another thing is a knas is only created, it's only generated by bezdin. So only if it goes to bezdin will create the knas. So let's say there's no bezdin. We don't know bezdin smuchim bezmanazer. So bezmanazer, there would not be a mitzvah to marry a person, ma'anis another woman. There'd be no mitzvah because it's the knas. But if you assume it's not a knas, rather, it's a mitzvah, then it doesn't hinge on Bezin, in which case, afil bezman hazeh, there would be a mitzvah of lo siel le'isha. And now the Gemara says as follows on the bottom here of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, tsar demai. What exactly is the tsar? The Gemara is describing that this tsar by the case of Onis. What's the tsar? Amar avua, the Shmuel, tsar shechavta gabekarka, throwing her onto the ground, that's the tsar. So maskula, Rebbe Zera, El Miyatev, that's the case. Chavta Gabi Shiraim, Hachanami the Pater. If it was on the ground, there was something soft, the mattress, then that would be permitted. There would be a ptur of no need for a knas. There's no tsar in that case. V'chitem Hachanami, if you're going to say in a Hachanami, you're right. In the case of Shiraim or anything else comfortable, that would there would not be tsar by Onas. V'hatane, but doesn't the Braisa say that Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Omer, Mishim Rabbi Shimon, Ones, Ein Masham Zetzar? So Rabbi Shimon argues and does not think tsar is paid, and we'll see how the Chacham argue. But they say, Eino Masham is a tsar. Why? Mipnei Shesofa. In the end of the day, says the Gemara in Amr Beis, in the end of the day, Shesofa lit tsar tachas bailam. So, okay, one case was a case onus, but in the end of the day, if not tsar here, she'd eventually have tsar from her husband. So there's no payment of tsar by onus. He argues. However, the response, Chachamim are, Amru lo, Eino doma nivela beonus, the nivela beratzon. You cannot compare one who's nivela against her will versus one who's done willingly. In the end of the day, the Gemara does not distinguish between Shiraim and Nechpetas Agave Karka. And furthermore, to see, speak about a husband's not Nechpet Agave Karka. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shesofa lihitzar, vi chibut Agave Karka. That's the definition of tsar, according to Rabbi Shimon. Vichi sofa lichabit Agave Karka tachas baila. Is that going to happen underneath her husband? So obviously that wasn't the tsar that was being described in the Braisa. So Gemara says, so what was the tsar? Ella must be Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Tsar shall pisek arglayim, the separation of legs. And they bring a pasuk, v'cheinu omer, it says in the pasuk, in Yecheskel, v'tifaski es reglach l'chol over, they spread the legs, and that is the pain that is being described. So Gemara says, Ihachi, that's the case, mefuta nami, by mefuta as well. Tsar reglayim is also painful, the spreading of the legs apparently is painful as well. So Gemara says, no, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Mashal de mefuta lema davar domer. What was a mashal we could try to understand the case of mefuta that it's not going to, even though there is tsar, apparently tsar pisek raglayim, it does hurt. In the end, it's not chai by mefuta because it's compared to a domer la'adam she'amar l'chaveiro kari shirayim shali v'ipater. I'll let you tear my clothing, you'll be off the hook. Here's what mefuta, she agreed. So even though this tsar, she was mochel b'davar. So Gemara says, wait a second. Sheli? Davun inu. It's not hers. It's not her pain. It's not her right. It's not her collection. She has no right to be mocha badavar. Se ella, amr of Nachman, amr rabba baravua, pikchos shebehen, omris mefuta, ein latsar. The wise women explain that there's no tsar. There's no tsar by the case of mefuta. That's just what it is. So there is tsar by onus. So the Gemara didn't say, what is the tsar? There's tsar by onus, but there's no tsar by mefuta. What exactly is the tsar? In the end of the day, it doesn't tell us what the tsar is. So there's a machlokish rishonim here. So Rabbeinu Yonah feels that the maskana is pisik raglaim is the tsar. But lemaisa, there's no pisik raglaim when it comes to mefuta. Just that's not painful. As opposed to Tosafot Rosh says, no, the tsar is hashar sahabasulim. Removing a basulim, that's the pain that we're describing here. So if either way, pisik raglaim, sharas basulim, removing the basulim, both of those should equally apply to mefuta. So Gemara says no. Gemara gives examples. We're going to give a few different dimyonos, how even though there is going to be tsar by mefuta, but the hana that is received is going to override any of the tsar by the mefuta. But by the case of the onus, there's no hana, so there's no hana that's going to wipe away the tsar. The tsar is still irrelevant, and that's why we pay tsar. So what's this compared to? So Gemara says, v'haka chazina d'islay, don't we see there is tsar by even a mefuta? So Gemara says no. Amr Abai, Amri Li'aim, his mother, was really his stepmother, the one who raised him, told him, she quotes from him, his mother all the time, his stepmother, Kimaya Chamima Aresha Dekarcha, like hot water on a bald head. So what does that mean? Initially, the hot water hurts, it scares a person, but eventually the hot water is, it feels good, it's beneficial for the person, so that initial pain is overrun by the hana afterwards of the warm hot water. Rav Amar, Amri Li'bas, Rav Chista, the daughter of Chista, who was his wife, Ki rivda de kesulti. It's like the rivda kesulti, which is what? It's like getting a shot of hakasas dam. The initial shot hurts, but after the extracting the blood, it feels good. The medicinal benefit is all there. The hana overcomes the pain. And finally, Rapapa Amra, Amri le bas abba, sura kinama akusha bichinchi. You bite a hard piece of bread, it might scratch your palate or something, but in the end of the hanav, the taste and the fact that you feel full, that overrides any of the pain. So this initial pain, each of these cases, the initial hot water, the initial shot, the initial biting of a hard piece of challah, that all hurts, but eventually the hanav afterwards is greater than the pain, and so too by mefuta, the hanav is greater than tsar, that's why there's no tsar by the case of a mefuta. So now the Gemara says as follows. Gemara says, ha'ones, halfway down Lama Tesma Bez here, Ha'ones Nosan Miyad Hamafata Lichashiyote. The Nos Ones pays right away, all the Tashumim. The Mafata only pays when he divorces her. So Gemara says, Lichashiyote Ishtohi? When he divorces her, they're not yet married to even speak about divorce. So Amar Baye, Ema Lichshelo Yichnos, meaning when he refuses not to marry her, then he has to pay. If he opts to marry her, then there's no payment. If he says, I don't want to marry her, and then he would not have to pay. Then he would have to pay. That's the din. Now, there's another hakir that the Rishonim talk about, that Achronim really talk about. They try to learn from the Rishonim. This din, Mefat, in essence, has two ways. He could either marry her and not pay, or he could pay and not marry her. So they ask the question, which is the ikar? Do we really say there's a mitzvah to marry her, but he opts out, then he pays instead? Or do we say he's supposed to pay, but he doesn't pay, so then he's able to get married to her? So which one's the ikker? So they try to prove from the Ramah. The Ramah writes, there's a mitzvah to marry her. We don't force him to get married, but there's a mitzvah to marry her, which sounds like the mitzvah be'etzim is to marry her, and if he refuses not to marry her, then he has to pay the penalty. However, the Ramban says that there's no mitzvah at all to marry her. There's no mitzvah at all. Even in the Lechachin, there's no mitzvah. Sounds like that the Indian is to pay. But if he doesn't want to pay, he could avoid paying by marrying her. So it sounds like there's machlokis in the Rishonim, which is the preferable approach. Is it to marry her, or is it to pay? So now the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, the Braisa says the same thing. Afal Pisha Amru, even though we said, HaMefata Nosein Lichshelo Yichnos, even though we said that Mefata pays when he chooses not to marry her, Bo Ya Boshes Upagam Nosein Miyad. Those amounts, the Knas, he doesn't have to pay immediately, but the Boshes and Pagam, he does have to pay immediately. And then the Braisa concludes, V'yechad ha'ones, V'yechad ha'mafata, Bein hi, Bein avia, Yechom la'akev. Whether the case of ones and mafata, both she, the woman herself, and the father have the right to say, we don't want my daughter, or she says, I don't want to marry this guy, they both have the option to opt out. So the Bishmael Gemara says, I understand the case of mafata, mafuta, Dichsev im ma'ini ma'in, the Pasuk says, the double lashon aviha, that the father is the one who opts out. The Pasuk says explicitly the word aviha, Ein li'ela aviha. He, Atzma, how do we know the woman herself could refuse to marry him? Minayin, Tamalomer, Yima'ein, the double lashon, Yima'ein, Mikomakum, even she has the option to opt out. Ella onus, the case of onus, Bishma, I understand she has the option. Ksiv velo siyeh, that to him she must marry him. And Rashi learned midaita. If you look at Rashi, siyeh, mashma hi mehava es atmala. She's the one tiyeh. She's the one creating the kedushin. She has the option here. So she has the das by the case of onus. So she could opt out or opt in. Ella avia minalan, where do we see that the father has the right to say, I don't want my daughter marrying this guy, this onus? So Amar Abaye, shloye chote niskar. Because we don't want the chote to get rewarded. Meaning if the father has the right to opt out by the mafuta case, so certainly the case of an aveira, where the guy was over an aveira, so certainly that case, against her will, so in that case the father should have the option of also not giving rights. Meaning he should not have more rights, that we shouldn't give the man more options in the case of onus than he has by the mafuta case. So if the father could refuse that marriage by mefate, certainly he could refuse the option, the marriage during onus, because we don't want the chote to have any greater benefit in the case of onus. So Rava Amar, no, Rava gives a different reason. You know why? We know the father has the right to opt out. Rava says, Amar kavachomer, ma mefate shelo avar ela aldas avia bilvad. The case of mefate, the woman did it willingly, so he only went against the father's das. But still, bein hi, bein avia yichon lakev, both the daughter and the father could refuse his marriage. Onus, she'over aldas avia v'aldas asma. He did a further, much greater thing. He went against both her das and his das. L'koshken, certainly, there should be more options to refuse him from marrying her. So it's based on the kavachomer as opposed to the svara of shloye dechote niskar. He felt is based on this kavachomer. So Rava lo amar kabai. Why did Rava not like the svar of a shloye chote niskar? So he says, kevin the misham kanas lat chote niskar. He's already paying a kanas. He's not getting rewarded. He's paying a penalty either way by onus case. So giving the father the option to opt out is not an additional punishment. He already is getting punished. So why, you can't throw another punishment on top of that. So Abai lo amar kabai. Why didn't Abai like the svar of Rava? Why didn't he like the kavachomer? Says mefate diihu matzim akiv, the man himself, the mefate himself, could opt out. So vienami matzim akiv, the father also, in reverse, could also opt out. But in the case of ones, diihu lo matzim akiv, the man, the ma'anis, cannot opt out. Only she can, but the husband, the man cannot. So vienami lo matzim akiv, mean the father and the man have this connection, this related, the parallel relationship. So when the man has the option, the father has the option. When the man does not have the option, the father does not have the option. So therefore, the kavachomer doesn't work, and you have to fall back on the svar of shlo yechote niska. And then finally, the Gemara quotes in the Braisa, Tani Idach, the Braisa says, the afa pishu amu, even though he said ones is no simiyad, kishi yotzi hu ein la alav klum. That even though we say that you pay right away, the knas, the man has to pay the avia naira, to pay the knas, when he divorces her, she does not collect the ksuba. Where I said, wait a second, he could divorce her? Chshiyotzi, mi matzi mafikle? We said that they're lo yuchal l'shalcha. He can't divorce her. So what's the price mean when he divorces her? He's not allowed to divorce her by the case of onus. So Gemara says, Ema, chishetetze he, when she divorces her, I mean, she can't give the divorce, but she could be toveya him to give her the divorce, and he'd have to give her divorce when she makes a decision. When she says he, ain la alav klum, she does not collect ksuba. Even though in general, of course, when there's a divorce, the woman gets ksuba. In this particular case, there's no ksuba, and we'll see why in just a second. Mace, if he dies, yata kesef knasa b'ksuvasa. Also, when he dies, the din is the knas, the kesef that he paid the family, that's in place, the ksuba. She does not collect the ksuba. Whether or not they get divorced or death, there's no ksuba in the case of ones. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda argues and says, Omer, yesh la ksuba, mana, she gets a ksuba of a mana. Not a masayim, she's not a basula when they got married, she's only a bula because he was ma'aneser, or he's mafater, but she does get at least a mana. So what's machlok is whether there's a ksuba in the case of ones and mafater. But my kemifli, what's machlok is that says the Gemara? Rabban Savre, time am I to kini Rabban Ksuba. Why, in the first place, is Ksuba instituted? Kadesh lo te kalabein of lotzia. We don't want her to him to just send her away without any penalty. If he knows there's no financial obligation, he's going to just divorce her. But now that he knows he's got a Ksuba to pay, he'll think twice before sending her off. That's why, in general, there's a Ksuba. But lohotzi, but halo matzi mafikla, but here he's not allowed to divorce. Lo yuchal l'shalcha. There's an issur to divorce her. So the Torah itself prevents him from a divorce her. You don't need another reason from not to divorce her by adding a ksuba, but therefore there's no need to add a ksuba. That's the svar of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda adds on, no, suffer, hai nami mitzarla, the man's going to be such a nasty person, he's going to be mitzar so much, adamrihi lo ba'anilcha, until she said, okay, fine, just I want to get out of this relationship, this is a terrible marriage for me, get me out of here. So if he has no financial obligation, it's not going to deter him. But the moment we say that he has to be a financial obligation, he'll be nicer to her, and therefore he felt, even in the case of Odin Tzimafate, it was necessary to include a ksuba as well. Okay, I guess we will stop here and see everyone tomorrow. Have a great day.